You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
All right, Psalm 119, let's look at, tonight we're going to look at three sections. We're looking at verses 73 through 80, verses 81 through 88, and verses 89 through 96. And once those folks with the lessons come back in, I'll make sure that those of you who don't have one get one. So we're going to look at three sections tonight. And again, the title that I have given this psalm is This Book of the Law, because obviously it's talking so much about Scripture. And in the three sections that we're going to look at tonight, we're going to see that David is dealing with difficult circumstances. Okay, we've got the sheets. Who needs a sheet? Raise your hand if you would, please, tonight, if you need to fill in the blank sheet. Psyched you out, brother. I'm sorry. I thought we had several hands. All right. Good. All right. Let's just get right back into the Bible there. Okay. So dealing with David's difficult circumstances, and each section of this that we're looking at, 73 through 80, 81 through 88, 89 through 96, they're all dealing with, in some degree, there's trouble. There's trouble going on in David's life. Now, regarding the second section, which we're going to read in just a minute, verses 81 through 88, Charles Spurgeon said about this, he called it the midnight of the psalm, of Psalm 119. That section would be the midnight of the psalm. And yet still, what I was looking at through this is, even if that is the midnight of the psalm, where it's a very dark time, you'll see that in a minute, there's always bright spots, even in the darkness. And for the Christian, there's always hope, and there are always brighter days ahead. And I want us to get that tonight and see that. And so we're going to be looking for what I'm going to call stars in the darkness. You know, it gets dark, but at times, God, even in the midst of darkness, will give you a little bit of light. And I want to show you some of that tonight from this psalm and hopefully be a blessing to you. Fill this in, then we're going to pray and read it, all right? Stars remind us that it's not dark everywhere. It's not dark everywhere. And then also, it's not dark all the time. And I think, you know, when we're in the midst of darkness and we're in the midst of a difficult time, it's good to know that, hey, it's not like that everywhere. And you know, and there's hope to get better. And it's not dark all the time. God gives us so many great, bright days. And if you're going through the midst of darkness, it's not dark all the time. And so I want us to just have to look for these stars tonight through the darkness here. Let's pray together. And we'll read some scripture. Father, I pray for your help this evening. I pray that we'd all have a focus upon the Word of God, that we would stay, Lord, true to the text of your scripture here, that we would be helped by your Word, we'd take what we've learned tonight, and that we would use it in our personal lives as we leave. So help us around your Word tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at our text here. Psalm 119, verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now we're going to come back to that verse. Did you read that there? That thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness, or we would say loyal love, be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies, we would say compassion, come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Man, that's a great verse. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. We've all been there. Just kidding. Who's ever said that, right? That's such a strange phrase. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindnesses. At thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Let's read the next 8 verses and we'll dive in. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. So as we're looking at these passages here, we're going to see common themes throughout it. And I want you to notice some of the obstacles that, and again, I believe David wrote it, so I'm going to refer to it that way, but some of the obstacles that David went through and some of the things that in our lives can also be used to bring darkness, to bring trouble, to bring suffering, to bring affliction. What are those things in our lives that make our days look a little bit darker? Okay, let's look at a couple of them tonight. Number one, pain. Pain. Everyone over 60 just said amen. I'm 37 and I'm already saying it. Amen. You know, but pain. Pain can bring a level of darkness that almost nothing else can. There can be discouragement that comes through physical pain, through emotional pain. And sometimes, now look at our scripture here. Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Okay? So he's attributing the affliction that he's going through to God. God, you did the affliction. He's not blaming God, but he's saying that it was God that led this affliction. Now look, if you would, at verse 92, and again he says, talks about affliction. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Now we looked a lot at affliction in the past couple of sections there, but we see it come up again. And throughout the psalm, we're seeing that David is facing many different fronts, many different trials. And one of the things he is facing is pain. Now, the pain that he endured in verse 77, or verse 75, it was the pain that he endured from the chastening hand of a faithful, loving father. That's the type of pain that he's going through there, as he's seeing that God is the one that gave affliction. So we know that in Hebrews, we know that Hebrews talks about when affliction comes or why it comes. But notice one of the, I think I put this on your sheet there. Is Hebrews on there? Okay. Chapter 12, verse 10. For they, talking about our fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. So our parents chastened us, corrected us according to whatever they thought they needed to do that for. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So when God is correcting you, when God is bringing, and sometimes that's physical pain into your life, it's not because God wants to see you suffer, it's because God wants to see you grow. It's because God wants to get you to where you're supposed to be. And sometimes that's just a correcting hand. Remember watching the old cartoons, you know, Bugs Bunny? Who remembers Bugs Bunny? All right, I just got to find out. Okay, good. I'm amongst Christians here. And so some of the kids are like, who? Bugs Bunny? What? Hopefully we you guys know Bugs Bunny? Casey, you know Bugs Bunny? Guys, you know Bugs Bunny? Okay, I just want to make sure. All right. He's in like the index in your Bible somewhere. But if you remember Bugs Bunny, and he would be out there kind of like dancing, you know, he'd have the little hat and that big hook would come out. You know what I'm talking about? Like the big hook around the stage and pull him off, you know? Sometimes God is correcting us and he's just trying to get us back to where we're supposed to be. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. But sometimes that physical pain can be a thing that brings darkness. Number next, what else? What else was an obstacle here in these passages that bring darkness or bring just, you know, clouding over our day? People. People. You know, and we're in the book of Philippians. You know what one of the things that robs joy is? People. Now, you're here and you say, Pastor, What are you talking about? And by the way, these three sections, David repeatedly points to the problem. And the problem that he points to is people. Over and over again. And you said, if you think people can't be problems, you've never worked with people. Oh, Pastor, no. I love people. Work with them. And if you think people can't be problems, I should just say, welcome to Earth. You must have just gotten here. Because people sometimes can bring problems into your life. What problems are you going through right now in your life? If there is some darkness in your life, or if you look back into the past and you see times where there was gloominess or sadness or just seemed like trial after trial, think back. How many of them were related to people? Probably a lot. And David repeatedly here talks about people being a problem. Look, if you would, at verse 78. He just refers to them as the proud. Let the proud be ashamed. For they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. So what's that mean, they dealt perversely? They're lying about him. They're coming up with a fabrication. And Spurgeon said about this, they had to bend his actions out of their true shape before they could assail his character. In other words, you ever have somebody take your words and twist them? Right? And that's happened to many people. And that's what he's saying. That, you know, you have to take someone's words and twist them to say that's what they really said. And then you can talk about how bad they are. People do that with churches. People do that with pastors. People do that with bosses. Children do that with parents. To say, this is what they said, but really you've twisted it to make them seem a different way. And that David said that's what's happening to him. They're assailing him. They're lying about him. But not only are people attacking him with words, they're also seeking to attack him in other ways. So we've got pain. That's something that brings darkness into our lives. We've got people. That's something that brings darkness. But number three, persecution. Persecution. Now let's look at some verses. Verses 84 through 87. Let's read those. And notice what it says here. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. For they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. So the word persecute there, the root word is actually referring to a pursuit or a hunt. They're hunting him to hurt him. And it goes to talk about to cause to suffer. So they're searching David up there. They're looking for him to cause him to suffer, whether that be physical suffering, whether that be emotional suffering. It means to harass or to systematically oppress one another. Now, I'm not a person that's going to live my life feeling persecuted all the time. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to feel like, you know, someone cuts me off in traffic. Persecution, you know. They knew I was a Christian, and that's why they did that. We're always persecuted. I'm not going to do that. Because why? Because there's actually real persecution going on. And there are Christians in Syria and other places that are being beheaded, and they're going through persecution. And the little trivial stuff that we go through here is not quite what they're going through. And then again, I just don't want to live my life with a victim complex. But there is persecution. There are people in this world that simply because you call yourself a Christian are just not going to like you and are going to come after you. And that's what we see here with David facing. Now, look what he says in verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. He's not saying there's a right way and a wrong way to persecute. He's saying wrongfully means for no reason. Wrongfully means without a cause. These people are persecuting me for no reason, without a cause. And honestly, that is usually true of Christian persecution. Is that there is persecution, and it's not really for a cause other than they're standing for Jesus Christ. And so there's pain, there's people, there's persecution. Look at verses, and this is interesting, look at verses 81 through 84, and notice, And this is why it's called, well, one preacher referred to it as the midnight of the psalm. Look at the despair in David's words. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. It becomes weary, but I'm going to hope in thy word. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. So he's, and then it says there, when wilt thou comfort me? What does that mean? It means he's looking for God to come through. He's looking for God to give salvation. He's looking for God to bring that deliverance for him. Until his eyes are giving out. You know, it's like reading the Bible and reading it and saying, I'm not looking away, God, until you comfort me, and getting to the point where you just can't keep your eyes open anymore. And that's the point where he's feeling it right now. Look at verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Again, you know, we read the Psalms, and we always have these weird phrases. I'm like a pelican. I'm like this. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. What's that referring to? Well, bottles back in their day, you know, I don't have a bottle here, but we have plastic bottles. We have all these different types of bottles. Their bottles, remember, wineskins? Oftentimes, even Jesus referred to bottles in that way, were these skins of animals, and they would hang them up in their tent to dry them. Well, the smoke from the tent sometime would make them kind of shrivel up or become dirty or dingy. And so David is describing himself as like this wineskin that's been hung up, that's been dried up and shriveled up and dingy and dirty. And he's saying, that's how I feel. That's how I feel right now. And so I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Look at verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? What he's saying there is, how long can I last like this? I won't last long the way I am. How long are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? And then in verse 88, he prays a great prayer. He says, quicken me. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. To quicken means to revive, to keep alive. Keep me alive, God. Revive me after thy loving kindness. And we're going to come back to that verse in a little bit. So we've got pain that is can bring darkness upon our lives. We've got people that can bring darkness upon our lives. We've got persecution that can bring darkness upon our lives. But I want you to see another one here. Pitfalls. Pitfalls can bring a darkness into our lives. So, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I want you to see a couple scriptures here. Look at verse number 85. Verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me. The pits they're referring to are probably pits that were used in hunting. You know, they cover it, the animal falls into it. But notice, though, it doesn't say they digged a pit. They digged pits. I mean, they're setting these snares for David. It's not just one, it's plural. But notice also verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. That means they're lying in wait. They're waiting to ambush him. And so he's got people that are out to get him. Now, this was in a literal sense as they were trying to murder him. They were trying to kill him. Now, we have to realize there's probably no one out to kill you right now. Probably. Now, I know many of you, and sometimes I've wanted to kill you. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But there's no one that's got a hit out on you. Probably, right? That was true for David, though. He did have people that were out to get him. But although we may not have a physical enemy, we certainly have a spiritual enemy. We have the devil who is out to kill and to destroy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So absolutely, are there pits out there? Are there traps out there? 100%. There's traps at your workplace. He's setting them up. I don't know if you ever set a trap before, but you know, it's something you do in advance. We talked about that a couple months ago in church. A trap at work. There's traps that he's going to set for you at home. There's traps that he'll set for you in church. There's traps that he will set for you at the grocery store, at school, at on the road as you're driving. There's traps on your cell phone, on your television, in relationships, and on it goes. But I want you to hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And notice, though, that even though we have an enemy who is out to destroy us and is out to looking for who he can devour and wreck and ruin your life, notice what God did. Because in a minute we're going to see some resources that God gives us. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So any trial or any temptation, I should say, that you're facing, you say, well, no one else is struggling with this. Come on, who's telling you that? Well, the devil is. Because, yeah, absolutely. Well, everything you're struggling with, other people struggle with too. But God is faithful. Amen right there. Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God's not going to let you get into a situation where it's like, you have to sin. You have no choice. No, God's going to make a way of escape for you. He's going to make you a way. If you want victory, you can have it as a Christian, okay? So even though there are pitfalls, even though the devil has laid out, you know, he's got the pit that he dug and it's got the, you know, the spikes in it, he covered it, so you step on it, you know, something like that. Even though there's temptation out there, God is there. God is there to help. The Lord's Prayer. I love the model prayer. When Jesus said, you know, how does it start? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and that forgive us our debts, such and such. And then it says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that always kind of tripped me up when I was younger. Lead us not to temptation. Does that mean that God does lead us into temptation? The prayer is, God, don't lead me into temptation today. No, I heard someone explain it, and it has just always stuck with me this way. We walk to church. We walk to church every day. We're just around the corner here. And I've got our little two-year-old. When she used to hold hands walking, now she's all independent and everything. I'm like, fine, get a job. But anyway, and so she's, we'd walk. And sometimes, you know, on our street that we go there, we have a lot of dogs on our street, and they're not careful. They're not careful. And so, you know, there'll be stuff in our path there. And a lot of times I'm like, whoa, and I'm leading my daughter by the hand or my son, whoever it was. And what am I doing? I'm leading him away from something. And so it's not me saying, get into that temptation. And that's not what God does. The prayer is, God, as I'm headed for something that I don't need to be around, if I'm headed for a temptation, lead me out of it. Lead me not into temptation. Help me not to put myself in the path of temptation and deliver me from evil. And so God has given us these outs, these ways of escape. But these things I'm talking about, sometimes you can step into a snare and you can make a mistake and it can just bring darkness into your life. And now you're beating yourself up and now you're thinking I'm a horrible person and now it's just over and over and over again. And what has happened is there was a trap laid for you. There was a trap laid for you, and you made a mistake, and now the devil is just, you're no good. I was teaching our teens on Sunday. You guys remember this? No, I always like to tease them because they have no idea what I preach about. But I was teaching that the devil is two things, right? He's the tempter, but then he's also the accuser. You know what? He's so dirty and low down because he will tempt you to sin. Don't you want to do this? Don't you want to do that? And then when you sin, he takes off the tempter hat and puts on the accuser hat and says, how could you? Aren't you a Christian? If you were really saved, you'd never do something like that. You better not tell anybody. If you tell anybody, no one will like you. No one will love you. They'll kick you out of the church. And he goes from being the tempter to being the accuser. And I'm telling you, that kind of stuff just breeds darkness and gloominess in our life. So, what are some stars, if we go back to Psalm 119, what are some things that can bring light into our life. What did David do? What do we see that David did when these times of difficulty, when these troubles, what did he do? Number one, let's look at it here. Some stars in the darkness. Number one, I'm going to give you three words. The first word is release. The first word is release. Let's look at a couple scriptures here. Psalm 119, verse 73. Notice what he starts out saying here. Now, he just came through talking about a bunch of affliction that he went through in the previous verses. And now he says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. So he sees that God cares, God's care in how he was created. Then it says in verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That's a statement of trust, because faithfulness means trustworthiness. It means the state of being dependable. So what he's saying is, he knows that God loves him, so when the affliction comes, he understands that this is not something God's doing to hurt him, that God's doing it out of love. And faithfulness, Lord, in your love have you afflicted me. Look at verses 76 through 80, okay? Look, if you would, at verses 76, 77, 78, 79, and 80. What's the commonality? The word let. The word let. God, let this happen. God, let this happen. Let this be. Let that be. And so what I'm just saying here by this is release, is that David, I believe, in what we see here in some of these passages of Scripture, is a giving it over to God. A giving over of control to God. Now let me be clear. David was never in control. And you, despite all that you think, are not in control. I'm in control of my life. No, you're not. You can make decisions. Yes, God gives you free will, of course. But to think that you are in control, it's just not true. That control is an illusion, humanly speaking. We don't have control. You know, we can't control what other people do. We can barely control ourselves from time to time. But what I'm saying is not that David was in control and needed to give it to God, but there needs to be a point in our life when we realize that God is in control, and all we do is turn over our will to him. Because we're trying to take the wheel away all the time from God, and that's not going to happen. And there needs to come a point where we say, God, you know what? Your will be done. I'm releasing that. I'm going to stop trying to control everything and control everybody else and control what trouble comes my way and control what pain comes my way and control what this person says to me and what happened. You can't control that. You have no idea what will happen 10 minutes from now. You have no idea what could happen on the way home tonight. You don't have control. Now, for some people, that hurts to hear. But we have to learn that we need to give these things to God. Now, here's another thing. Why should we carry the weight of things that we have no control over? Why should we do that? So give it to God and enjoy the freedom and the grace that God gives. Give that up to the Lord. So 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him. Why would you do that? For he careth for you. Okay, the next verse there. You know these verses, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be careful. What does that mean? Full of care. Careful. Anxious. Anxiety. Be full of care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How does that peace come? By not carrying that anxiety, not carrying that care, but going to God in prayer and giving it to him. Saying, God, what am I doing trying to control all this? You're in control. I keep wanting to tell you the whole point of my message that I'm probably going to preach Sunday night. So I got to rein it back in, because once I spill the beans, the message Sunday night won't seem as good. So you need to listen to that message, because it's going to tie into that point right there, okay? Now look at you would at verse number 94, and we're moving along here. Verse 94, I am thine. I just love that statement. David's just saying, you know what? I'm yours, God. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Can we echo that with David? Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I can't control this. I don't know why you're putting this in my life. I don't know what this is about, but I know that you love me. I know you have unfailing, unceasing, loyal love. And so because I see your tender care in my life, I can trust that you can do a much better job with my life than I ever could. I try to tell teenagers this, that why would you plan out your life when God could do it so much better? Give that to the Lord. Learning that truth, it will help you. And if you apply it, it will brighten the dark times in life. Just saying, God, I'm going to give it to you. What are you trying to control that God didn't give you to control? Okay, let's give that to the Lord. Let's release that. Quit trying to grab it away from him. Release. Number two, the word is resources. Resources. Okay, so what I want you to see in this passage that we're talking about is that God has not left us helpless. God has not left us without hope. There is hope, and there are things, there are resources that God gives us to help us through the dark times. You know them. You know most of them. But look at what David says about them. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. What resource do you have when you're facing pain, when you're facing people problems, when you're when you're facing persecution, when you're facing traps and pitfalls and snares? You have the Word of God. Now, I want to say this. That's enough. That's not like, okay, what else we got? No, that's it. That's enough. So what was David's answer to every problem in this whole passage? His answer is he stayed in the Word of God. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 78, quickly. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perverse with me without a cause. Hey, they're lying about me, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 83, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Unless the Bible, the law had been his delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Say, why do you need the Word of God? You can see the Lord in his Word. You can see him there. And then also, what did I read on here? It was poetic. It was beautiful. Put this in a book. You can hear his promises being whispered again to your heart as you read the Word of God. Okay, it wasn't that beautiful. You guys are unimpressed tonight, I tell you. All right, it's okay. But that's more than just a star in the darkness. Man, that's a lamp. That's a light for our life, the Word of God. And if you're not getting anything else, just take note tonight of how David answered every problem. He just said, he may not even know what to do, but he's just going to stay in the Word of God. Man, that's great. That's simple. That's not something you can't do. Aren't you glad that the way of victory is not like, okay, you got to go on a personal trek, you got to cross this huge bridge here, you got to go into the waterfall, you got to fight the dragon. It's something simple. Just stay in the Bible. Just stay true to the Word of God. The resources God gave you is the Word of God. Secondly, the people of God. The people of God. That's a great resource. We were just now flipping the page. That was 5 minutes ago, folks. What are you doing? Just kidding. The people of God. Now, I want you to write this in, and this is just a true statement. People can be a source of delight and refreshment, or people can be a source of discouragement and ruin. You say, well, what does it depend on? It depends on who you allow in your life. People can be a source of delight for you. People can be a source of refreshment in your life. Or you get the wrong people in there, and they can be a source of discouragement. They can be a source of ruin. They can be a source that brings you down. Jonadab in the Bible. Other people like that you know, it was a friend that ruined them. So people in your life are important. Now notice, there are people in this psalm that David talks about. There are people that love God. There are people that don't. Okay, verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Okay, there's people that fear God. Verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed. They dealt perversely with me without a cause. Okay, there are people that probably don't love God as much. And then verse 79, that let those that fear thee turn unto me. Those that fear God. And verse 95, he talks about the wicked have waited for me. So we've got people that love God and people that don't. People that fear God and people that don't. Well, who are you going to spend your time with? Who are you going to spend your time on? Who are you going to think the most about? Who are you going to listen the most to? Whose words weigh more in your life than the other? Some people give way more power to people that are wicked than they do to people that are right with God and love God. And what these people say means so much more to me or weighs more heavily upon me than the people that know God, love God, preach God, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We need to be very careful what voices we give weight to. You listen to the news, and this person says, oh, this is exactly what you ought to do. 14 masks all at once right now. You know, and we give all this credence, and I'm not even talking about scientifically. I'm talking about the people that tell you what you ought to do, or people that say you ought to dress like this or look like this, or if you're going to be cool, this is it, or this is what really matters in life, and why would you say that? Why do we give weight to people, and one person says one wrong thing to us, and now that blows up our whole day, darkness and gloom, when we can call any church member in here and they would be an encouragement and a refreshment to us? But no, we're going to listen to that one dummy that said something to us or criticized us. Why do you listen to that? Why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible? You going to listen to that? Why don't you call up Brother Jones? Why don't you call up Brother Weldon? Why don't you call up Brother Dickinson or Miss Elvitza? Why don't you call up somebody and get encouraged? That's just good. That's good help. Why? Because God gave you a family. Look, when our kids are discouraged, I don't want them to give more weight to what the kid on the playground said than what they give them what I say. I want them to give greater respect, I guess, to what their dad and mom have to say than what some kid on the playground says. You know, you're snot those little brats that's running around our school. I'm kidding. I'm joking. All right. Pastor's offending us. No, I'm just messing around. But you get what I'm saying there. Now look at verse 79. As now I've thoroughly offended half of you. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. What I'm going to say is, look, let those people turn unto me. Let me just apply something really quickly here. If God has placed good people in your life, this is capital letters. Let them help you. Let them help you. Now, some of you, I should say some people, some of us, have a problem with letting people help us. My daughter, a couple weeks ago, you may notice our two-year-old was doing some gymnastics on the stairs. She went tumbling down about three stairs. But why did that happen? Because she was like, no, I don't want your help, you know? And she's being independent, so she got up, dusted herself back off, and kept running around, and we're like, you know, someone got the defibrillator out, revived me, and I was okay. But, you know, sometimes, even as adults, God has placed people into our life that can really help us. And they reach out a hand, we slap it away. No, I'm good. You know, do you need anything? Can I help you? No, I'm fine. You know, and if God has placed people in your life, you have church family. And if someone is reaching out to help you, don't slap their hand away. Sometimes you need help. And it's not wrong to say, you know what? I would like that. Thank you very much. And we have to learn this lesson. Sometimes if you need help and God has placed and given provision by giving you people in the church to help you, let them help you. Some people, we got to learn that lesson, and I'm probably one of them. The Word of God is a resource. Oh, man. The people of God is a resource. And then lastly, the throne of God. Prayer. Prayer. God gives you access to the throne of God. I don't know who said this, but someone said the chief means for attaining wisdom are the Holy Scriptures and prayer. The one is the fountain of living water. The other, the bucket with which we are to draw. Bible and prayer, they go together. Yet for many Christians, when trouble comes, those are the first two things that go out the window. They're our greatest source of help, our greatest source of encouragement, our greatest source of strength, and yet for some reason, when trouble comes, those are the first two things that go out the window, followed closely by church, number three. And it's exactly the opposite of what needs to happen. I love verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Just, verse 94, save me. I love these just simple prayers. God, help. God, save me. Verse 88, when he said, quicken me. And I love that even in the midst of trouble, you can be revived. Even in the midst of feeling like an old bottle, a dirty old smoke-filled bottle, you can still feel like your spiritual life can soar. It can soar. Let me give the last one. So we saw, first of all, a star in the darkness was release. He turned over control to God. Resources, he uses what God gave him. But lastly, remembrance. He gets his mind on bigger things. Remembrance. Look at verse 89. This is so beautiful. 89 through 91. Forever, O Lord. So just get the picture. I'm almost done. He's talking about all these troubles he's going through. He comes through the midnight of verses 81 through 88. He's saying, God, revive me, quicken me, help me. And then just everything changes. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Wow. Notice the grand scale. He talks about forever. He talks about heaven. He talks about a whole earth, all generations on the earth. It's no longer me. It's no longer them. It's no longer this one issue. Now he's got his mind on eternity. He's got his mind on heaven, the whole earth, and how God, you know, keeps it running and all this kind of stuff. I love verse 91. It says, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. What continues? The universe, everything he created. You read it there. The heavens, the earth, it all continues because of God. And then in verse 93, I will never, never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. What's the opposite of forgetting? Remembering. And he said it again earlier, I won't forsake your precepts. And I think he said another time, verse number 83, yet do I not forget thy statutes. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes when you're going through darkness, it's very easy to have the microscope out on your life and to just see this one portion. You ever look at a microscope in school? You're magnifying one thing, and you're getting really close in on this one issue. And all you're seeing is that one trial, that one problem, that one person, and all you're looking at is really closely at this one thing, and sometimes we need to back away. And instead of looking at the micro, we need to look at the macro and back up and say, hold on, there is a much bigger picture here than just my one problem. There is a much bigger, get your eyes on the big picture. Fill this in. There are bigger things out there than your problems. And I don't say that to be mean because I know your problems are big problems. And that sounded like I'm making fun of you. I didn't mean that either. What I'm saying is your problems are big to you. Your trials are big to you. And I get that. And they are big. But I'm saying there's a bigger God out there. There's a bigger purpose out there. There's a bigger plan out there. There are more things in life that can bring joy. And if you're just focusing on that one little issue and you keep magnifying it in and looking deeper and deeper in that one issue, you're going to be lost down a rabbit trail of darkness, of sorrow. You need to back up and say, okay, hold on. What does God say? What's my final destination? What's going to happen in eternity? What resources had God given me now? I want to just say this as I close. David's greatest works came from his weakest moments. Have you noticed that? Some of these incredible psalms that David wrote come from when David was weakest. And I think it's true with us too. Our greatest victories sometimes come from our most difficult moments of life. And as you're going through sorrow or darkness or whatever you're facing, God has given you resources. Use the resources. Remember the bigger picture of what God has done and can do and has done in the past. And then release, give things over to God. So the last blank on your sheet there is this. Is there some problem or some semblance of control that you need to give over to God? Are you using all the resources God has given you? And by the way, I put a question on here. What other resources has he given? Maybe you need to stop and think, hey, what else? What other resources has God given me that I can use during my dark times? And then also, the last one there, are you focused on the minutiae of life's problems, or are you focused on the bigger picture of what God can do, what God has done, what God will do? And there's so much of a bigger picture there. Hopefully tonight, something in here was a help to you. I don't know what everybody's going through. I know some, but I don't know if there's darkness in your life. Maybe you feel it internally and no one else knows about it. But hopefully tonight, you can see some stars. You can see that there's light, and you can grab onto those and let these things be something that brings a little bit of light to the dark times in life.